On Wednesday night, 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 through 27. Usually I take about two or three verses, but all these verses kind of hang together, so I know I won't hardly get through with them in 30 minutes, but I'm going to try not to take too much of your time tonight. But this beautiful, beautiful book. Remember when I started this book, and I told you if you have anybody that's not sure of their salvation or anybody that's lost, you come on Wednesday night. And this little book of John, it tells us we might know are you saved or not. It gives you a test on every verse and every page in this little five-chapter book. It tells you, you know, how to know that you're saved. There's so many people don't know where they're saved or not. A lot of people think they're saved or not saved. And I tell you, this is a test that you go through all through this little book. It tells us so many things in this little book. And the key word of this whole book is know, about 18 or more times. Know. One thing, know that you're saved. I'm going to tell you, know that you're saved, and also that know how to grow, know how to mature. And also tonight we're talking about knowing what times we're living in. It tells us we may know what times that we are living in. So learn to tell the time. That's what I title this message. Now learn to tell the time. I know a farmer had an old grandfather clock, and he was asleep that night, and that thing chimed, went out of haywire and chimed 14 times. And he said, "Wife, get up. It's later than it's ever been before." And I believe we're living in those last times. It's telling us right here. And it makes me think of a little old boy who was out playing, you know, like little boys does over his neighbor playing. And he says, "What time is it?" They said, "It's 4 o'clock. He says, "It can't be. I'm supposed to be home at 4 o'clock, and I'm not." So it's important that children know how to tell the time, isn't it? But I'm going to tell you, it's more important that adults and Christians know how to tell the spiritual times. And he said, you might know what times we're living in, John says, that we may know this. Very, very important, the difficult times that we're living in. We need to learn to tell the times that we are living in. So in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 on down through 27, little children, it is the last time. And as we have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they may be made manifest. They were not of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denied the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same have not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teach you of all things, and is truth, and no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Let us again go to the Lord in prayer. Father Jesus, we just thank you so much for this beautiful, beautiful day. Oh, how you blessed us, and Father, your children, and now you have brought us down to the close of another day. Father, you draw the curtains upon this day. We want to thank you and praise you here in this midweek prayer service for so many people that's turned out this hour. For our little ones and our teens that are across, Father, studying the Word of God this hour, we appreciate and thank you for them. And all those that's traveling, Father, we pray, God, that you might give them traveling mercy. Father, we've had so many names to call out to you this hour, and Father, it's on our hearts and our mind. And Lord, the people have so many problems, but Father, we understand, Father, that you are the one, the answer of all these problems. All in our prayer box, so many names, we praise you and we honor you. And we just thank you, Lord, for all the many blessings that you bless us with each day. And how we cannot praise you enough for the goodness of life that you give each one of us today. Father, we just pray we might continually tell others about Jesus Christ. And Father, even here this night, Father, we just pray, God, that we might be have someone on our heart, Lord, that we might love them to Jesus, to let them understand the goodness and the mercy that we have from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Little children, it is the last time. It is in the last time. John wrote this 2,000 years ago. There's a sense the last day since the coming of Jesus Christ into this world has been a sense that we've been living in the last days. Beginning of the ages. And everything since Jesus Christ has come, everything that's happened and will happen is really preparation for really the end of the ages. You think about this. Since Jesus Christ came, everything has been done, everything that's going to be done is a preparation for the end of the ages. I know that a lot of people think that, you know, that the world is going to keep on going at several billion. They don't know it's several billion. You know, the world gets older all the time. Every time you get a new science on the scene, you know, they say, well, it's another billion or 2 years old, or they don't know how old it is. But they think it's going to keep going like it is, but not according to the Word of God, that Jesus Christ is going to come back. One of these days, this world as we know of it, it's not going to exist. And it's coming to an end. In the ages that you and I know, it's coming to an end. They vary phrases in the Word of God in the New Testament, you know, describes these last days. And John says we need to know the time of these last days. He says the last time, John says, wrote in the days 2,000 years ago. Read a couple of verses of Scripture from 2 Timothy and also 1 Timothy. It says 3:1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the later days, later times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil or the demons. Now, John says 2,000 years ago when he penned this, that he says, you know, little children, this is the last time. I wonder what he would say if he looked around this world today. Would it say we in the last hours, last days, the last minutes, or last seconds? I mean, the signs are here before us, telling us it's very close. In these verses, there's evidence we find out that we're living in these last days. It's talking that we're living in these last times. The generation, I believe that we're living in these last times. One way we know that they're going to be appearing of a personality called the Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist. And he's already here, the spirit of Antichrist. The Antichrist may be already born. It may be a grown man. I don't know. But Christians not going to know who the Antichrist is until we're gone. That's the rapture. But he may be a real person right now living this day. And I believe he is. But we say, whereby we know that it is the last day. We see this appearing of these personalities of the Antichrist appearing this day. And we find, start with, you know, the denial of Christ. This is some of the signs that we see, the denial of Christ, Jesus, in the days that you and I are living in. In these verses that I read, 6 times it's talking about they. 5 times it says us. John separating some people had come into the church, as we know of the day, come for a while, but you see, they're not here. And I don't know if we could get the FBI to find all of our members or not. And we don't have all that many. But, I mean, he says, now, they. People come down the aisle and get baptized and member of a church and this church or any other church. You know, that don't mean they're saved. They come for a while. They go to Sunday school. They sing in the choir. They might teach the while, and they're gone. You can't drag them back. They don't care. They have no call to come. It says they. They. Then it says us. Us. Denial of Christ. Now, denial has been built around this the coming of this Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, that's the coming of the Antichrist. That's right at the point. Shall not come except there shall be a falling away first. That's talking from the church. That man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. They're falling away. And it's time for us to understand, look what time that we're going through. There's a great falling away across our nation, across the world of people now. And it says they and us are falling away. The Antichrist singular, it talks about here in these verses of scriptures. Appearing of a personality, the Antichrist. What is anti? That means instead of. When the Antichrist, he's instead of the real Christ. He opposes everything that Jesus Christ is for. There's a spirit, is right now the spirit of Antichrist has been here since 2,000 years ago, old John's day, and it's still here today. But it intensifying as we get closer and closer and closer to that man of sin be revealed, it's going to intensify the showing the things and the people and the personality that's going to intensify against Jesus Christ. And we find that in all areas of our life today. He will appear and oppose everything that Jesus Christ represents. Matthew in chapter Matthew 24, he says that false prophets and false Christ in his day, and they there today, so many. The sin of man will climax in the man of sin. Y'all get that? The sin of man will climax in the man of sin. That's the Antichrist. In the book of Revelation, talking about the beast. The beast is Antichrist. He will demand worship as Christ did. The Antichrist will demand worship. Remember he going into the temple at Jerusalem and set up there an image of himself. He will demand worship. Then you got a choice. You know, we have a choice today. Receive Jesus Christ, the Lord's Christ, or, you know, you can choose the devil's Christ, which is the Antichrist. Verse 22 that I read, verse 22, who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is Christ? He is the Antichrist that denies that the Father and the Son, he denies that. He is the Antichrist, the devil's Christ. And then we have, you know, the Antichrist plural, the spirit of Antichrist. Verse 18, even now are there many Antichrists. The movement of Antichrist is here today. It's intensifying all around us. That's the reason we see so many things going wild in our world we're living in. Because the intensified of the Antichrist spirit is with us today. 1 John 4, verse 1 and verse 3, it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit where they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. And every spirit that confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. Even now, already is in the world. He's already here today. The spirit of Antichrist from 2,000 years ago. Every generation, from old John and Paul's day when they're writing of the scripture here, every generation have tried to identify the Antichrist. Every generation thought the Antichrist was on the scene. The early Christians, they thought old Nero was. You know, Nero was a man that killed hundreds and hundreds of Christians. You know, he had tar on them, wrap them up in sheets and put tar on them and set them afire and burn to light up his garden. Oh, emperor of Rome. They thought sure that he was Antichrist. How many people, look what old Hitler done in that generation to the Jews. Millions of Jews, they thought surely that he was the Antichrist. Remember the spirit of Antichrist? Some of them said Obama today is Antichrist. No, I don't think he's Antichrist. He got the spirit of Antichrist because he's against what Jesus Christ is for. Now, I mean, it's just as simple as that. Anybody is against what Jesus Christ is for is an Antichrist, or the spirit of the Antichrist, I should say. That's just simple as it is. The Antichrist movement is today. The evidence, which is appearing in everything, is against Christ. It's going to intensify. And it is intensifying in the day that you and I are living in today. Look at the political realm today. The groups are against everything that Jesus Christ is for. They're against it in our country, in the political realm. And people that votes for anybody running an office is for killing unborn babies. That is a spirit of Antichrist in that person of upholding abortion. And they vote for these people. I'm telling you, God's going to hold us responsible in this country of killing the unborn babies. And there's no excuse for a Christian not knowing these people. They'll tell you what they believe in. pro-life and pro-choice. They'll tell you there's no excuse. I not know. And don't say one is just as bad as the other, because that is a crop. And I'm going to tell you, that's, we know they've been doing that for years in our country. And God's going to hold us responsible for voting and putting people in office for abortion. But not only that, they have banned the Bible in schools. You can't pray in public school. That's the movement of Antichrist. You can't put a nativity scene in any government building or on government ground. That's the movement of Antichrist. And you're going to see shortly that this same bunch that people vote for and think they're so good, they're going to be killing the elders. You're not worth bypass surgery when you get a certain age. And you're not going to have a hip replacement. And you're not going to have a knee replacement. And you can't have this expensive medicine. People, I'm telling you, it's coming and coming fast. You know why? Because it is the movement of Antichrist. It's intensifying in our own life that we're living today. It's Antichrist. Whenever we vote for people, and boy, they are applauding the ones who's in the office today. Man, I'm telling you what, I really do believe in the time that we have this thing in office today, when you see them turn against Israel, you're going to find this country going down fast. And he's already said he don't like what Israel's doing now. It's nothing but the spirit of Antichrist. It's got to come. It's got to come. And then, you know, in the intellectual realm, the schools of higher learning, look at our colleges and universities today. Man, a mockery of Jesus Christ. They're against everything. The liberal teachers that we have, professors they claim to be. You know, most of our college and universities land was built on Bible principles and to teach and learn the Bible. I could go over a number of them. They're nothing but the Antichrist movement today in our colleges, university, and our school system as a whole today. Thinking that you come from an animal? What is that? That's against Christ. He's the creator. Everything was created by him, and nothing was created except was created by him. He is the creator, and it says you're not believing in creation. You come from a monkey. That's the reason we act that way. The young kids, they want them in school. Well, they can teach them this thing because, you see, when they get on grown adults, what are we having today? We're having a fallout for allowing this stuff to be taught. And where's the Christian at today? It ain't anything in the world but Antichrist movement. It's been here a long time, and it's intensifying, though. And even in our Baptist colleges today, you find the very same thing. They don't even support the Word of God. You can't find, they may be one, I think, that even supports the King James Version of the Bible. The rest of you know, you can get all type of conversions of the Bible nowadays. You know, homosexual, they got them one also. I mean, you get all type of translations today. It's intensifying. And then look at the music. That's been around a long time. You know, when old Elvis first came along, when we thought he was, us at my age, we thought that was a thing, old Elvis. Rock, that was the beginning. Then it come out what we call hard rock. And then people says there's Christian rock. I want to tell you, there's no such a thing. There's no such thing as Christian rock. That's like the devil and Jesus Christ holding hands together. There's no such thing as that. And then there's Hollywood. I don't know if I'm going to get this other verse or not. But anyhow, there's Hollywood. Our movie stars. Look what life they live, the heroes of young people today. Antichrist movement intensifying. And then we bring it to the natural realm. I've seen on television today how many earthquakes they had already this year around the world. Well, we always had earthquakes, haven't we? Yeah. Always had storms, yeah. But they're intensifying. They're intensifying. They're increasing. And the famine across our world today, the famine, people starving to death, it's going to intensify. There are going to be more and more people. And I do believe you're going to see some hungry people in our country if it keeps going the way it's going. Shortage of all kind. It's intensifying. I'm telling you, because they deny of Christ. They deny Christ. Then the second thing you know, desertion of the church. Tell the time because it's a desertion of the church. And in verse 19, as I've read, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not saved. That's what he's saying. If they'd have been saved, they'd have stuck right with us. Physical desertion of the church. Y'all know old Dobson focused on the family. He said 2/3 of the teenagers in our United States today now do not attend church of any time. And results of this is moral vacuum. And we wonder what's wrong with our youth and our teens in our country this day, and the suicide and the dope and the drugs and just keep on going, and the murders and stealing and just all. Why? Because they are a moral vacuum. You're going to have to fill your life with something. If it's not Jesus Christ, it's going to be filled with the Antichrist. But they have deserted the church. Mothers and fathers today, thank God we got a church that believes in bringing kids to the house of God. But you see, there's a lot of them don't even care about that. They don't even attend church. As I said, church membership and also baptism won't save you. We don't know who's saved and who's lost. Nobody didn't know, but Judas was saved or lost. Christ said, you know, one of y'all are going to betray me. And all of them said, every one of them said, it is a lie. We don't know who it is, who is not. I don't know who's saved, who's lost. There's backsliders that don't come to church. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people that's lost that don't come to church that got their member on this church roll and all of church rolls. I don't know who they are. God does. But they won't come. They're not of us. 2 Peter 2:21 and 22 says, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true Proverbs, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her own watering in the mire. What happens? You see them right back out, drinking their suds, popping their pills. They go right back to things they was doing. You know, you can take a hog out of the water and dress that hog up, wash that hog, put a bow on that hog, and the first time that hog gets a chance, guess what it's going to do in that water hole? It's going right back to that water hole. You know why? Because that's the nature of a hog. If you don't change this old nature by that new nature of Jesus Christ, we'll all go back to the water. What keeps us from doing that is this new nature that Christ Jesus put in here. It's not our goodness, it's what Christ has done for us. It's his goodness and his righteousness. We'd all be in the water hole tonight. We wouldn't be here standing here tonight or sitting here tonight singing praises to Jesus Christ and opening up his word and praying for people if we didn't have the Spirit of God. Where's the worldly people that they're not concerned about these things? What makes them different from us? Because we have the living God that lives in us. And that don't make us better than them, that just makes us saved. And it's his righteousness, not our righteousness. Now, one of the evidence that a person is saved, that they want to be a part of a local church. I'm sorry. That's the evidence. That's exactly what the Word of God says. That's not what I say. That's what God says. Now, the Bible don't talk about carnal Christians and liberal Christians. The Bible says you lost or either you're saved. Now, we've labeled it liberal Christians. They liberal, they believe in this, they believe in that. Worldly Christian, you know, you can't tell them world. But the Bible don't label them that way, friends. I'm going to tell you, the Bible says you're lost or you're saved. That's what the Word of God says. You're lost or you're saved. And you want to, if you're saved, you're going to want to love the things what Jesus Christ loved. And I'm going to tell you what, he loves his church. He died for local churches. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brethren abides in death. You're lost. You're dead. They don't love the brethren. They don't love to come to church. Why? Because they don't have the love of the Father in them. Now, again, I'm not talking about, so you must be talking about my family. I ain't talking about nobody. I'm just telling you what the facts of the Word of God says. I don't know who's lost and who's saved, But I'm going to tell you what, if they don't have no part of the things of God, the Bible says they're not saved. Moral desertion. Moral desertion, as I already talked about the politics, the moral desertion, you take some moral issues and you'll find out what side people's on. If any man's in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away, behold, all things are made new. And then I said it before, people vote for people for abortion and homosexual rights. But then you have these intellectual desertion also. The intellectual desertion is also denying the basics of the faith. When you see in the Bible it says the faith, that's a definite article before the faith. That means there's some definite things that you've got to believe in to be saved. The fundamentalist part of the faith that you have got to believe in to be saved. It's like a football game. It wouldn't be much of a football game without a football or lines on the field or a goalpost, would it? Same thing it is for the salvation. The faith is talking about the virgin birth. You've got to believe in the virgin birth. The sinless life of Jesus Christ because of the virgin birth and his sacrificial death, his resurrection, his ascension, and his return. That is the faith. The faith. In 2 John chapter 9 it says, whosoever transgress abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, that is the faith, have not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he have both the Father and the Son. Boy, that's plain, isn't it? John don't stutter, does he? I mean, he tells it just exactly like it is. They who deny the basic doctrine of the faith are not saved. And then we have the deception of the Christians. Verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. That word seduce you means to lead astray. It means to turn from the truth into error. Spiritual deception. Never seen it so bad in my life. Television and people hooraying these religious racketeers on television. Books, TV, tapes, CDs. Man, they buy them by the thousands. And I could just call you a few names of these religious racketeers on television. They'll drive 50 or 100 miles just to hear one of these crazy people. No, they're not crazy. They're smart. They're robbing them. They're telling you the falsehood. And then we have so many translations of the Bible even leads us astray, as I done said. They confuse the Christians. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 and 3. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in these latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of demons, forbidden to marry, and commanded to abstain from meat, which God hath created to receive with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. You know a group of people don't believe in getting married? You know anybody don't believe in eating meat, vegetarian, because they feel like they're closer to God? They don't want you to kill a chicken. They oppose killing chickens. You seen this group on television? They don't want you to kill Bambi either. They don't want you to kill hogs or cows. They don't want to eat a steak. Well, I do. God said he cleaned it. Paul said, don't matter where you eat meat if you don't eat meat. That don't make you any closer to God. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might magnify and be made of themselves. That proved that they were not of us. They were not saved. Now, the key word in these verses of Scripture also is the word abide. In this language, if that abide, the same word there means continue. The same word means remain. It's the same word. How can Christian now, how can we this night now, counterattack the anti-spirit, anti-Christ spirit we have today? There's threefold ways that we as Christians. One thing is you stay in the church. You stay in the church. 1 Timothy 3 and 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how that ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillars of the grounding of the truth. Stay in the church. Stay active in your church. Attend your church. And stay active in your church. Now, you ever hear people say that, man, I'm saved, but I'm not much on this local church business. I believe the church is this invisible church. And they're absolutely right. All saved people, we are members of the invisible church. But let me tell you, the invisible church never holds prayer meetings. And the invisible church never tithes. And the invisible church never sends people on missions around the world. And the invisible church, you know, they never call on the ministry to go out to the lost and the dying. And they never go to the hospitals. And they never preach funerals. Yeah, they believe in this church mystically. They believe in this invisible church. And they don't want to support a local church. Well, according to God, they're not saved. You can't separate Jesus Christ from his local church. I'm telling you, Acts 20 and 28. Take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost may made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Any group, any called ministry is in opposition against a local church and will not support the local church will die. It will die. I don't care what type of ministry they call it. If they're not supporting a local church first, it will die. I've seen them time and time again. They got such and such ministry going, and it won't last long if they're not supporting a local church. Anything outside the local church will die. God give us a local church to work through. That's the reason you go out on visitation. You find, why don't you come to church? God set it up that way. Stay in the church. Stay in God's word. And verse 24 says, let there therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall continue in the Son and in the Father. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth, and the word is true. Stay in the Bible. Get in the Bible, and the Bible will get into you. That's the second way. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 13 says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you have received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as a word of men, but added to the truth of the word of God, which effectual work also in you that believes. That's the Bible. Men and women have given their very life in order to bring you a copy of the Bible that you can read in your own language. Did y'all know that? People have given their life. I'm going to tell you, the soldiers that fall in wars give their life, and we have the freedom to have a copy of the Bible in our own language today. Have you thanked God for this? That you appreciate the Word of God, or you should appreciate the Word of God, knowing that people died, that you might have a copy of God's Word. The Gideon is supposed to come the 25th of April, and they get pass out Bibles. That's one of the great ways of getting out the Word of God, is passing out Bibles. I go with Brother Ben down to Mexico. They've already bought 3,000 Bibles. Ben's church had the care down to people down around the border that speaks Spanish-speaking Bible. Anybody ever place that in someone's hand, a Word of God, the first time? I've done that several times. They've never owned a copy. Remember now, if you never owned a copy of the Word of God, where would you be at today? Place the Word of God in someone's hand has never had the Word of God in their own language and what they can read. How do we appreciate the Word of God? Stay in the Word of God. Stay in the Holy Spirit. The unction, the anointing, as we move on fast tonight. That word unction, the same word there, the same word for anointing, that you've been anointed. You know, whenever you were saved, you got the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. You got all the God you ever going to get. When you get saved, you got it all. The problem of it is, we let God have us. That's what it's all about. You see, because we've been saved by the Holy Spirit, we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, and one day we're going to be delivered by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 1:21-22 in closing. Now he which established us with you in Christ and have anointed us is God. Now have also sealed us and give us the earnest of the Spirit in our heart. He sealed us. That means I can't be lost. Why? Because of the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Not what I do, what I don't do, because what God's already done. My friends, you're going to go to heaven if you save tonight. And you're not going to go to heaven because how good you are or what you deserve or how you behave. You're going to go to heaven because the Holy Spirit of God has sealed you to the day of redemption. And he gave you the righteousness of Christ Jesus. And that's the reason people go to heaven. I'm going to tell you, if they don't believe in the local church, if they don't believe in part of the things that Jesus Christ believes in, if Jesus Christ was a member of this church, where would he be on Wednesday night? Where would Jesus Christ be on Wednesday night if he was a member of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church? Where would he be on Sunday morning, Sunday school? Where would he be on Sunday morning or Sunday night? Are there any questions or any doubt? And yet people go for months and months and months and months and they care less about the things of God and the Word of God. Oh, I got all the kind of excuses they want to have. But let me tell you, it says every mouth will be stopped when they stand before God. Lord, Lord, hadn't we done this? And Lord, Lord, hadn't we done that? It's apart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. Yeah, but I'm a member of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. Well, I can't help it. That's not the keys to enter into heaven. And you're going to see a lot of people turn away that thinks they're saved. Man, I'm going to let you go. I'd like to go for about another hour. I believe I could get it off my chest then. But I'm going to cut as short as I can. And ask you this hour to stand and we'll be dismissed. Tell someone about Jesus Christ. Be praying for the ones we've had on our prayer list. And we thank you in the name of Jesus for your support here this night. How great God has been with us today. And he loves us so much. Brother Stevie.